Hi, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Gang podcast, the official podcast at thetagang.com. Today is May 3rd, 2024, and let's just, I guess, just jump straight into it. This week, Jerome Powell talked, or aka released, what would be the Fed's decision on keeping interest rates the same or not, and in fact, as the market predicted with a 99% chance, the rates are staying the same. This was very expected. I don't think really many other people thought that rates would go up or down. Rather, they would stay the same. I did a Twitch poll on one of my Twitch streams this week, and there was about like a 95% agreement that the rates would stay the same. So the general public thought the same thing as the professionals. The stock market rallied a bit, a good bit, actually. After the market showed some weakness earlier this week. But now, today, Friday, as I'm recording this, the market's continuing some of the uptrend that we've saw from FOMC. Something notable that happened on FOMC day was that the market rallied as Jerome Powell sounded really positive about the market. But then maybe 30 minutes before close, it gave back all of its gains and traded about flat for the day. I'm talking about like SPY and QQQ. So seeing the uptrend form back up again after that really fast sell-off after FOMC is really good. However, we're going into a weekend where everything could be up for grabs on Monday. Whether or not we gap down, gap up, continue the uptrend, or maybe we trade flat for a little while, no one knows. But today was really good sign that there could be some bullish momentum going into Monday next week. It's funny that I say this, as you're going to know if the bullish momentum continue because you're going to be listening to this on Monday. I have to do a better job of remembering that as I'm recording this. Some of that bullish momentum also came from Apple earnings. So Apple usually doesn't go up a lot during earnings. Apple famously known, at least in my sort of bubble, that Apple tends to save the market. When Apple reports, it's usually after, you know, the market's been kind of weak, and then Apple sort of saves the day with its very large market cap and its numbers. And Apple did some of that today. It opened up about 8% the next day following earnings. iPhone sales don't look that great. We're not going to even talk about the Apple Vision Pro, but they announced a huge buyback program. And of course, announcing a buyback program isn't the same as committing to it. You can authorize up to, say, for example, like hundreds of millions of dollars, but you can just buy a dollar's worth of buyback if you wanted. You don't have to necessarily buy the full amount that you authorize. So that's just something that I hope most people know, is that you don't, again, have to commit to the full lot that you authorize the buyback for. I learned that little tidbit from my experience trading PayPal. PayPal, I believe, also did pretty well this week, but then has given back most of, if not all of, its gains from earnings. Was this week? April 30th? Yeah, it was this week. Gave back most of its gains, all of its gains, is now trading lower. After its earnings, it was trading at 69.42, and then is now trading at 65.38. So PayPal is on my bearish list on Robinhood. You could come check out the stream where you see my watch lists. I have like a semiconductor watch list. I have a defense stock watch list. I have a Junie's watch list of just filled with my favorite stocks. And then I have a bearish watch list. And that consists of Adobe, Chegg, PayPal, and Square. But yeah, I can't see much merit in opening a call credit spread on any of my bearish companies quite yet, just because I see a lot of bullish opportunities elsewhere. But I just like having that list for, you know, for entertainment purposes, but also, who knows, maybe I might just occasionally do a call credit spread here and there. Talking about the website real quickly, leaderboards will be coming. That's the feature I'm working on right now. It is almost done. Like halfway through the feature, I had a change of heart of how I wanted to present it. And if any of you are a fan of tryhackme.com, it's a website that teaches you how to hack websites and do all kinds of crazy stuff. I've been a big fan of it. I've paid for their subscription service, and I've been learning how to do better cybersecurity stuff. It helps ThetaGang too. I've made quite a few changes increasing the security of the website. And they have a leaderboard sort of feature, and I'm drawing a lot of inspiration from that because I think they do it very well. So just know that this leaderboard that's going to be on ThetaGang.com does not depend on profit loss. I've come up with a algorithm is definitely like overplaying it, but you know, I've thought of some really cool stuff to track to have you go up on the leaderboard. I don't think you would ever go down. You'd just be ranking yourself against other people that are equally as passionate. But more details later. But a leaderboard is coming, and I think it's going to make the website a lot more fun. Some cool things I'm thinking about the leaderboard is also drawing parallels from TryHackMe is like if maybe you're in the top 1 or 5% of you know the leaderboard, maybe you get a discount code for merchandise or something. I think that would be really something really cool. By the way, I announced this basically at the very, very end of last week's episode at the 1% section, but the new ThetaGang merch is out. It's at shop.thetagang.com. You can go check it out there. There's pictures on the website. Please buy one if you can. If you can't buy one, that's totally cool, but it's a great way to support me as I'm trying to find out more of the logistics of printing shirts with multiple colors and woven labels and all that stuff. It's been really fun, but I do have a little bit less than half of my inventory left. The patrons got first dibs, and then, of course, I've been sort of wearing it and advertising a little bit on the Twitch stream. So I have a little bit less than half. If you like one, go to shop.thetagang.com and purchase a shirt there. But if you are maybe in the 1 to 5% of the, well, if you think you might be the 1 to 5% of the leaderboard, then maybe suspect a discount code. I don't know how exactly I would get you the code. Maybe it shows up in your web browser if you are in the top 5%. I don't know. We'll see what I can do. I think there's going to be also other perks that come with being in the top 1 to 5%. I have to work out the numbers because obviously I don't have millions of users. On the website, I only have like a few tens of thousands. So I have to work out what percentage works best. And if you are in the top like 1 to 5%, maybe you are in a special rank, not just like, you know, bronze, silver, gold, platinum, or diamond. None of that like generic stuff. You know, maybe the lesser ones are in those leagues. But maybe if you're in the literal top 100 people, or maybe you are in the literal top 1%, you get a special rank and badge. I don't know. I have a lot of ideas revolving around this leaderboard, and I think it's going to, again, make this super fun, and I can't wait for you guys to see it. Shifting gears a little bit to a little bit more trading-related material, my main account is up $38,000 for the year. That's, again, trading on a 300K portfolio, and my 5K account is up year to date $1,088.08. It's now trading at $7,000.80. So that's really cool. The 5K account has weathered the storm of the World War III scare, right? Remember when that was a thing? Like not too long ago, like last week. It weathered the, you know, gray swan / black swan NVIDIA event where NVIDIA went down like $100 in a day. Yeah, getting very, very lucky, but trying to keep the momentum with the luck. I think, you know, when you get really lucky, you might get motivated to take that luck and put it into the next play and really just keep the luck going. But sometimes it's good to just understand where you got lucky and just hold off or be a little bit more conservative next week, especially if you got really lucky, right? You don't want to rush anything. You don't want to give away all your gains. We're all very familiar with the Wall Street Bets graph of the, you know, the really large gain and then following the bigger loss, you know, only like a few hours or a few days later, because they try to roll that win into another win after, you know, maybe that win's probability of profit was like 10% and they had smashed in, won a lot of money, but they just didn't know any better. They didn't know to like sort of tailor back the risk and, you know, live to trade another day. Talking a little bit about my game plan as of right now and a little bit about like next week and the week after that, my market outlook right now is pretty bullish. I don't see much reason to not stay invested. I think going cash right now might be a little too conservative, and that's coming from me, who has been maybe like 50% cash for like the last 3 weeks. So I threw on a few more trades today. I did a buy right on Costco. I dollar cost averaged AMD a good bit. I still have about $10 to go on AMD before I'm at break even. And AMD has just gone up $4 today. So AMD has good momentum on it today and good amount of volume too. So that's kind of nice. I'm picking back up my bullishness for cybersecurity again. I'm going back into CrowdStrike. I was looking at Palo Alto. I like the most recent support where it's been at. Let me quickly check here. Palo Alto, because I was just looking at it. Let me see. Palo Alto, PANW. And it was at a recent low of about, let's see, hovering around like the 280s or and such. And right now it's trading at 296. So like selling the 280 or the 285 maybe is pretty good. However, what kept me back from doing it was just because earnings are pretty soon for Palo Alto. So I most likely want to just see that Palo Alto reports well, and then I'll start opening up buy rights and cash secure puts on Palo Alto. But I thought that 285 price point was pretty interesting. NVIDIA will always be top of mind for me. However, I'm currently trying to just work out on my AMD shares. So I have a lot of my risk just in AMD, and that's totally cool. I'm just, you know, kind of wary of going in on both AMD and NVIDIA at this current moment. So I'd rather just be in one at a time, especially if my AMD position is the size that it is right now. I have 463 shares of AMD, 200 shares of which are covered with covered calls. And I guess next week, really, I'm just looking for AMD to just continue going up. That would be the dream scenario for me. And I would like to see maybe NVIDIA not go up as much, but of course NVIDIA not going up as much might hinder AMD, because they're so closely related. AMD goes up, NVIDIA usually goes up. They follow each other, being in the same sector and both being sort of industry leaders. NVIDIA, the more prominent leader by far, but AMD, the very, very strong second choice, has always been impacted by NVIDIA. But like I said, I don't see much opportunity to go bearish, or at least having being bearish your main strategy. I did buy, and this is very weird, okay? I don't do this very often, but I did buy QQQ and SPY put debit spreads, okay? I didn't want to get destroyed in case the market went up. I opened these before Apple earnings, and Apple reported really well, and the market sort of rised with Apple earnings. Just, you know, Apple takes up so much of the market. It has such a large market cap, and everyone looks at Apple as a good strength signal. So the market went up after I bought these put debit spreads, which count on the market going down. But these are hedges, and they're supposed to lose. I am very, very proud of myself for making these put debit spreads. So which means that, you know, you do buy the put, but you sell the further out the money put, which caps your gains, but also limits your loss. So a lot of this market churn of the market going up and down, especially the market going up, really doesn't impact me all too much. The cost of the trade is about $1,100 in total, and I'm down about $200 on the entire hedge. And what is so nice about this position for me is mentally, I feel so prepared for Monday open if we started going down again. Not having these would make me feel kind of wary because I don't know, that NVIDIA very scary $100 down in a day event kind of put into perspective how much money I had in both AMD and NVIDIA at the same time, and how much exposure I didn't have on the way down. And it's something new that I'm trying to explore with. So, I'll report on this as weeks go by. I didn't mention the expiration. I have 230 days on this contract, 231 days to be exact. So it feels very responsible. I feel like if the market did end up going down, maybe my puts go in the money. I'd in fact buy like maybe one more set of each. I feel like I'm prepared for another downturn if it were to happen. But if it doesn't happen, the hedge is so small. It's less than, let me see, what's 1,000 out of 340? Yeah, I mean, it's less than 1%. It's like almost a third of a percent of my entire portfolio. So it feels really good. If the market goes down, I have a plan for when it starts going down. If it doesn't, this hedge is so small that, the rest of my portfolio is gaining. Whew. And sorry, I know I sound really sick. It's because I am. I was like debilitated yesterday, but I feel better today. And the thing about doing your own thing and not having a traditional 9-to-5 job is you don't really get sick days. You kind of just gotta keep going. So that's that. And yeah, it just feels really good that I have a plan on the way down now. While this is a new sort of strategy for me, and historically, I don't actually have a good history of buying puts like at all. I bought puts during COVID. It's very small. I always keep my puts at like 1% maximum of my entire portfolio. But yeah, when it comes to buying puts, I don't have a good track record of it. Maybe this is the start of it though. But I did feel like I wanted to put on a hedge. And just to put a little bit more context, I bought these puts on a green day, after, or it was before Apple reported, but it was on a green day. That's how much I wanted a hedge, just in case if maybe we reverse, maybe Apple reported really bad, or who knows, maybe there's just a gray swan event later. Okay, and that about wraps it up for today. Usually I have a topic of which I want to talk about on the podcast, all prepared and ready, but I've been really leaning into getting this leaderboard feature done, so I didn't get much time to think about it this week. And then yesterday, I was just horizontal the entire day. I was like so sick, and you guys of course are hearing some of that today as I'm talking. But it's nice. It's a cool, a short episode talking about my thoughts on the market and all that stuff. It's kind of interesting as I'm like a regular person. I'm not like one of those like fancy technical indicator dudes or some TV personality or some math quant. I'm just like a regular dude who seems to be beating the market and I don't know, trades every day. You could see me trade live on Twitch at twitch.tv/realthetagang in the morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And yeah, I just really pride myself in that. In that, like, I feel like I'm a good example of just a regular person making it. I'm not omega rich, but I've definitely been having a good track record in the stock market since I've started my ThetaGang journey. So I hope I could be continuing to provide a good example or be the good example for you guys to follow. And just more of a reason that. You don't necessarily need to buy courses. You don't need to, read books. You don't need to necessarily, I mean, what else is there? Like buy someone's trading service. You don't need to do any of that, to be a good trader. It's just maybe what I would recommend is finding a community that you can really learn from. And part of that, it includes like being able to lose in your community. You don't want to Well, you can if you want, but I would recommend not joining a community that over focuses on gains, right? Like that just weeds out the people that are actually learning, that might not be having the best time. So you want to join a community that where people feel safe to lose and share their losses to learn. And it gives everyone else a reminder too. Like imagine you go into a community and losses are talked about and people talk about their, you know, troublesome positions that are red and all that stuff. And then just seeing that on a, you know, not daily basis, you don't want to see people losing all the time, but seeing that often enough where the community accepts it gives you a reminder of like, oh, right, maybe I should tailor back some of my position sizing, or maybe I should work on, you know, taking profits off the table more often. And, you know, it doesn't have to be my community, though. If you want to join my community, it's at patreon.com/thetagang. Otherwise, it can just be any community. Everyone's different. What you're going to find a community that works for you that has the same type of humor, communication style, but I would highly recommend joining one. Trading is really difficult if you're not trading with other people, at least from the get-go, because I think you get really lost in learning the wrong types of things if you don't have a good example to follow. That's why I provide my examples for free. Again, you can just literally watch me trade live on Twitch at twitch.tv/realthetagang. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/junie and thetagang.com/junie5k, right? Like you need to see it working to have a better sense of like, oh, is it a strategy that you should also follow? Because one thing that I don't particularly like about these profit-oriented communities is you get a lot of people that say that they win a lot, but you don't get to see how often they lose, but they only post their winners, and it gives you a false sense of security that you should maybe follow their trades. So just be careful is all I ask. I want to give a huge shout out to the people that, you know, make my full-time venture and all of this possible on a full-time basis, because it just means a lot. Without them, I wouldn't be able to do this full time. So from the bottom of my heart, just thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to do this full time. Thank you to Young Rich, Y-Teen, Vegeta Plank, Upstream Puddle, Tyler LM97, T-Wall 3252, Turbo Ricky, Troop 947, Travella, Theta Collector, The Jester, Tecomi Elmo, Symmetrix, D Catsy, Statistically Random, Spicy Lemon, Slow Motion, Rustier, RS Schmitty, Roostered, Ensis 88, Nala, Mr. Integrity, Maloko, Mods, Mememev, McFly, Maltman 1856, Major, Maestro XC, Louis BG, LPL, Los Pepes, Lord Skeletor, Loido, LJ Boy 99, KJ Martin, Kevlar 22, Kaput, J Perkins 86, Joe Quirt, J Ferd, LOL, Infinitude, Husk P, Grandpa 95, Garrix, Fancy Wolf, Espresso Bean, EDC, Desserts, Danube 9000, Danghai, Danger 10, Cube Suki, Clutch, Chicken Dinner, Can't Make Money, IRL, Bustin Justin, B Schwartz 23, Bearded Savage, Banadushi, Bachata Thug, Avrillion, Arfman, Andy V, and Alexander Kerm. It's a miracle that I didn't have a cough attack while reading those names. But anyway, I'm going to take off. Thank you all for listening. I'll more than likely be better by the next podcast episode. But thank you for being patient with my raspy voice this week. And the show will be back on next week. Thank you and bye-bye.